This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length adaptation of one of Graham Greene's most compelling entertainments, the novel England Made Me. The dramatic version is by George Lefferts of NBC. And at intermission, we will bring you a commentary by the noted author, actress, and Broadway producer, Margaret Webster. Miss Webster recorded her commentary in New York earlier this week. Here now, England Made Me, by Graham Greene.
Mind if I join you?
Tony. Oh, Tony, you did come after all. Tony, darling.
Now, look, people would think we're sweethearts instead of brother and sister.
Let them think anything. I was beginning to think you wouldn't come. I didn't believe you were in Sweden anyway.
Well, I would have been on time, Kate, but it wasn't my fault, honestly. I was... you don't believe me, do you?
You haven't changed a bit. Let me see you. Tall, broad, impeccably dressed, of course, in your only suit, probably.
Well, my baggage was lost at sea.
Every waitress in the room envies me. What's that tie you're wearing?
This? Harrow.
But you were thrown out of Eton.
Yes, I promoted myself. It does no harm, socially.
Same old Tony.
Well, you know, you're looking well, Kate. Nobody would dream you were 33.
When are you going back to London?
Well, as a matter of fact...
You've lost your job.
How did you know?
It's because we're twins.
Well, you're a half hour older.
Still, I can read your mind.
Well, it wasn't suited to me, Kate, really. I had to work in a stuffy old office keeping books.
How much money have you got?
The truth?
The truth?
Not a sou.
Didn't you get a week's pay?
As a matter of fact, I left in rather a hurry. An affair of honor, you wouldn't understand.
Of course not.
I'll get hold of something.
Father's dead now, Tony.
Oh, no, I wasn't meaning to sponge. Now, see here, if you think that I came to Stockholm to sponge off you...
Darling, I wish you had. I'd like nothing better.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a little scheme.
I know your schemes. The trouble is, you're dishonest, but not dishonest enough.
Huh?
There are certain things you can't stomach. You're all bound up in England.
Oh, and what does that mean?
Middle-class morality. Women are fragile. Men are bold. Motherhood is sacred. Babies must be loved. Wives cherished.
Oh, Kate, you ought to know me better than all that.
Well, you'd never admit it, but that's how you are.
Well, perhaps I'd better be going.
You're coming with me. Eric will give you a job.
Eric?
Eric Krogh.
The Eric Krogh?
I'm his personal secretary.
They say he's the richest man in Europe.
Not the richest, but one of the most powerful.
Oh, Kate, he'd never take me on. If you must know, my dear, I have no reference.
You said you'd resigned.
Yes, it wasn't quite like that.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Oh, does Krogh think that much of you?
Yes. Look, darling, here's an address. Be there at 5 tonight.
I'll need a few bob for supper, freshening up.
Here are £5. Get yourself a room and a good hotel.
Oh, thank you, Katie. I shall repay you, you know.
Yes, Tony, in tears, most likely.
When Miss Farrant returns, have her call me at the English legation. I'm having tea with Colonel Gully.
Your Herr Krogh.
Ask the doorkeeper to bring my car around.
Your Herr Krogh.
Good afternoon, Herr Krogh. A beautiful day. I brought your car around.
Thank you.
I see they have completed the new statue in the courtyard, Herr Krogh.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
Well, Herr Krogh, it's a bit odd.
How do you mean?
I don't know. It's just odd looking.
Understand this. You are a doorkeeper. That statue is by Sweden's greatest sculptor. It is not the business of a doorkeeper to understand it.
I didn't mean
it. It is the business of a doorkeeper to tell visitors that the statue is the work of Sweden's greatest sculptor, get his name for my secretary.
Yes, Herr Krogh.
Don't ever let me hear you suggesting to visitors that it is difficult to understand. It's a work of art. Remember that.
Yes, Herr Krogh.
Say it.
It is a work of art.
Again.
It is a work of art. It is a work of art. A work of art.
Another drink, Herr Krog?
No, thank you, Colonel. My quota is one.
Oh, speaking of quotas, Herr Krog, I took some of your last issue.
You could do worse.
I don't speculate normally, but I regard Krog's stock as gilt-edged.
Not gilt-edged at 10%, Colonel.
Oh, I know, my dear fellow, but one trusts the name of Krog. It is sound, isn't it?
As sound as the parent company. You have a few metallic industries, haven't you?
Oh, a couple of thousand. They've been doing very well.
If I may advise you, get in touch with your broker. They will pass 125 shillings tomorrow. Then tell them to sell. They'll drop to 80 before the week is out.
Oh, that's very good of you, Herr Krog. Very good indeed. Now, if only every stock was as sound as Krog.
Excuse me, sir.
Well?
A phone call for Herr Krog.
Oh, take it in my library, Herr Krog. You'll be alone there.
Thank you. Eric Krog.
Eric, this is Hall.
What is it, Fred?
There is trouble at the Nykoping plant.
What kind?
A strike.
When is it called?
3 o'clock tomorrow.
How many factories?
3.
Who is the leader?
Our informant at Nykoping reports that it is a man named Anderson, foreman in one of the shops.
I want it settled before nightfall. Ask Lauren to handle it.
Lauren is ill. I could handle it, Eric, if you'd let me.
I said I didn't want trouble.
You don't know these fellows the way I do.
Ask this Anderson to come down. Send a car for him. I'll see him in my office at 4. What is happening on the market?
They're still dumping stock, the Americans.
You bought, of course.
Of course.
Did you keep the price steady?
Yes,
go but... on buying. Don't let the price of Krog's fall more than half a point.
But, Eric...
Listen, the stock is virtually worthless. Much better for it to be in our hands. We don't want questions. Why must I explain these things as if you were a child?
But the IGS...
We have Romania now. By next week, we'll have America.
Money is close, Eric.
I can always get money. Keep buying.
Eric?
Did you hear me? I said keep buying. Keep buying.
Yes, Eric.
Fools. Weak, sniveling fools.
You're late, Tony.
We can't be helped, Kate. I was caught in a traffic jam.
There's no traffic jam. Where were you?
Oh. Well, the truth is, I met an Englishman, nice old fellow, traveling with his wife and daughter. Mm. He noticed my school tie and insisted that we have tea.
How old was the daughter?
About 19.
What's her name?
Pemberton. Lucia Pemberton.
And I suppose you're going to see her again?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did promise to show her the sights this evening.
You were going to dine with me.
Oh, now, Kate, do be reasonable. We'll see each other often. Oh, this poor girl is going back to London in a week.
Oh, all right, Tony. Eric isn't here yet anyway.
Is this Krog's place?
Yes.
Yes, I thought it was a bit too swank for you. Rosewood paneling. Very nice.
I don't know what's delayed, Eric.
Are all these books his?
Yes.
Does he read them?
No.
What's through there?
His bedroom.
What's that other door?
My bedroom.
Oh. Look at this closet, will you? He must have 100 suits. And those neckties.
Do you like them?
They look like dead tropical fish. I wouldn't go near one. Who buys his suits?
They're sent up in loads each month.
No fittings?
No, he won't have them. He's a shy man.
Eric Krog, that's hard to believe.
It's true.
I say, what a joke it would be to take him in hand. Clean out all these ties, teach him to drink and to laugh and to make love.
Let him alone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he meant anything to you. Well, Kate, he won't have me. I'll have to borrow my fare back to England.
Oh, don't talk like that.
You know, Kate, I never met anyone like you. Blood must be thicker than water. How you'd hate me if I weren't your brother.
No, I shouldn't. I'd come back to London and live with you in a moment if you'd ask me. It would be just like the old days, Tony. Remember how we used to share our secrets?
Eric.
Oh, that must be Eric.
Hello, Kate. I'm glad to see you. Oh, you have someone.
This is my brother, Tony, Eric. I told you.
Yes, yes. I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Ferrant. We must have a talk one day, but you must excuse me tonight. I'm very tired. I've had a difficult day.
Yes, of course. Well, I'll be pushing along to my hotel. Nice of you to invite me up, Kate. I'll call you tomorrow.
Eric, I was thinking that you might find a place for Tony.
Some other time, Kate. I'm very tired. Good night, Mr. Farrant.
Good night, Mr. Krogh.
Excuse me.
What?
I said excuse me. I noticed your Harrow tie. I'm Harrow myself, class of 15. Minty is my name. Could I buy you some dinner?
Well, really,
You're suspicious. I don't trust old Minty to do the right thing by you. But I assure you, you won't get a better price in Stockholm.
For what?
Information about Krogh.
Are you a blackmailer?
Not quite. I'm a newspaper man. I write for the Stockholm Daily.
What makes you think I can give you any information?
So you come out of his place.
What sort of information do you buy?
Anything about Kroger's news. Did he mention anything? A strike, perhaps? A new flotation? Oh, now see here. I'll give you 50-50 on any story I write. A good story can make you £50. Are you a friend of his?
50-50, you say?
For a good story, I may be able to get the money in advance. Are you close to him?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm to work for him.
Doing what?
Confidential.
Oh, that's fine. We'll work together then, right? You can trust old Minty.
They might arrange something.
You'll have other reporters trying to buy news of Krogh from you. Don't touch them. Stick with old Minty. Remember the old school tie.
You weren't very nice to my brother, Eric.
Oh, I'm tired. We've had trouble.
What trouble?
There was to be a strike. I managed it.
How?
I saw the leader, a man named Anderson. I managed it as well as Lauren could. I told him a joke and asked after his family, gave him a cigar. He talked about his son who works in our bearing plant.
What else did you give him?
Oh, I gave him a guarantee that wages in America would not undercut wages here.
That's not true, is it?
Of course it isn't true. I didn't put it in writing.
He trusted you, though.
Everyone trusts Krogh's. That's how we made our name. We are trusted.
What will you do when he finds out that you lied?
Hall can take care of that. My only concern is to have nothing happen until we floated the American issue. Please, I'm very tired now, Kate. It was very hard talking to the man.
Take off your shoes. I'll stroke your forehead.
Would you, Kate? I'd like that.
There now. Doesn't that feel good?
You know the right things, Kate. You're good for me.
Just close your eyes.
That man, Anderson, reminded me of somebody.
Don't think about it.
Why did Lauren have to get sick now? I don't like to talk to them.
It's all over now.
No new issues. The market is steady.
Can you give my brother a job?
What's he good for?
He wins stuffed tigers in the shooting booths at amusement parks. Aside from that, he's good for nothing.
Has he been to school?
He's been in and out of the best schools.
He knows art and music?
Thoroughly.
How about sculpture?
Well, he's cultivated.
I'll see him tomorrow. I want his opinion of the new statue.
Close your eyes.
And the averages are higher. The early firmness maintained.
Sleep.
This dark is sound.
Sleep.
Closing.
Sleep, you. Tomorrow, perhaps, you'll see my brother.
Farrant, your sister tells me you are a good pistol shot.
Yes, I am.
And you have been to school. Where?
Eton and Harrow.
Have you studied the arts?
Some.
Look out the window.
Huh?
What do you think of that statue?
It's dreadful.
It's by the best sculptor in Sweden.
Well, I'll take the Edgware Road.
The best critics have all told
me... They're pandering to you because you're rich.
You think so?
I used to do it myself.
What do you think of this ashtray on my desk?
That is fine.
Ha, ha, ha. You're tricked. It's by the same sculptor.
He's good at knickknacks. You should not have given him that marble to play around
but
with.
But the critics said...
What the devil do they know? Who buys Krogh's hardware? The critics? No. Who knows a good machine tool from a poor one? The critics? No, the common people. You ask them about your statue.
The doorkeeper didn't like it.
Give him a promotion.
You're a very outspoken man, Mr. Farron.
Well, you don't impress me as a man who likes deceit.
You're right there. Do you know music? The opera?
Some.
I go to the opera once a week. I don't understand it. But people ask me questions. What did you think of it, Mr. Krog? How did you like the aria? I don't know what to say. Would you know what to say?
I certainly would.
You want a job, Farron.
Uh-huh.
I want a companion and personal bodyguard. I've been thinking of it for some time. Yesterday my car backfired and I began to think how defenseless I am against my enemies.
Enemies?
I'm opening an American company. We will corner the market with a new bond issue. But my competition is ruthless.
And you want me to protect you?
You'll be free as long as I'm in the office. I shall expect you to attend the opera with me. Tell me what to say. You will read the latest books, especially poetry.
When do I begin?
Tonight, at the opera.
Well, I had an appointment with a girl.
Cancel it.
But
you're working for me now. Cancel it.
Very well. I'll need some money for a white tie and tail.
Your sister will furnish them. Oh, Mr. Farron.
Yes.
Understand one thing. When I buy a hire a person, I demand undivided loyalty, 100%. Is that understood?
Yes. My sister told me.
Hotel Central.
Connect me with Mr. Pemberton's suite, please. Lucia?
Yes.
This is Tony.
Oh, I suppose you forgot our dinner engagement.
No, I didn't forget, but I've just been given a rather important post by Krog. I have to be with him this evening.
Oh.
What about tomorrow?
Oh, no, I'm afraid Father's planned a tour.
Day after?
No, that's no good either. Mother's got tickets for something. I'm afraid it's no good, Tony. We'll be gone next week.
Well, come out and meet me right now for a few minutes. On the North Bridge. Yes, of course I mean it. I want to talk to you. Will you?
All right. 10 minutes.
Hello.
You came.
Did you think I wouldn't?
I didn't know. We only just met.
Oh, I don't care. I'm on a holiday. I'm going to do exactly as I please.
Then what's that?
Anything I please. I shall fall in love with you if you let me.
You are a queer one.
For telling the truth.
Well, I don't ever tell the truth. Shall we get a cup of coffee? You see, I have to meet Krog for the opera in about half an hour.
Oh, what's your job?
Bodyguard and guardian of his ego.
That doesn't sound respectable.
No, it isn't, but it'll pay me well.
Well, I shan't mind. It's so nice to be seeing you after all these foreign men.
Foreign men? But you've only been here a week.
Does it take a week to know a few men?
Have you ever been out of England before?
No.
I thought not. Tell me all about these foreign men. They're handsome, I suppose.
Oh, very.
Yeah, I suppose you've had relationships with many men back in...
Coventry. Oh, but I'm not promiscuous or anything, but I have been around.
Yes, I see.
I believe in freedom, not relationships, just experience.
Do you know, child, that you haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about?
What do you mean?
How old are you?
20. Huh? Well, I'll be 20.
Mm. Why are you trying to impress me with all your experience?
Oh. Well, I thought being a man of the world, you'd prefer a woman of some experience.
Well, I prefer you just as you are. Skinny and fresh and untouched. Come on, let's go get some coffee.
Well, I don't want you to think I'm completely naive.
Oh, perish the thought.
I've been in love twice.
In, Coventry?
Once at Coventry and once at Wootton Underage.
Wootton Underage. I say, what do you think about love?
Oh, it's good for one, providing one isn't promiscuous.
Would you like to love me?
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to chain you down or limit you.
Oh, darling, you are wonderful.
Why do you find me amusing?
No, I find you charming. Come on, here's a shot.
How old are you, Tony?
33.
Oh, Somehow I thought you were older.
Yes, I age very quickly.
It is good for one, isn't it?
What?
To fall in love once in a while.
Tell me, how long is it since Wootton under Edge?
6 months. Would you say I'm being promiscuous?
No, darling. I'd say you're the first breath of fresh air I've drawn in 10 years.
What is it, Kate? You look worried.
I am, Eric.
Why?
Well, I've been going over the books, those checks to Battersons on the sale of stock to the Amsterdam Company.
What about them?
They're predated.
I know. I predated them. But no one knows this but you.
It isn't safe, Eric.
It's very nearly safe. This is a moment I've been waiting for, Kate. The moment when we leave the law behind and push out for new shores.
If it ever leaked out, if the public found out now when the American stock is being floated...
They won't find out.
The directors will examine the books in another week.
The American issue will be floated by then.
But they'll suspect the dates.
Perhaps.
They could still bring suit.
Perhaps.
Suppose they put me on a witness stand?
Suppose they do.
You're asking me to perjure myself?
No. They will never put you on a witness stand, Kate.
How can you be certain?
Kate, I have something to ask you.
Well?
Will you marry me?
You ask me to marry you?
I realize this should be a romantic moment in a young girl's life. I'm sorry, I'm not the romantic type. But I think we could find some happiness together. You would have everything you wanted, all the freedom. I would be very fond of you.
And a wife does not have to testify against her husband.
It isn't only that.
It was very considerate of you not to make love to me, Eric.
I'm a businessman.
Yes.
Well, you would be a very rich woman.
I would want a settlement for myself and something for Anthony. Anthony needs me. He's like a big overgrown baby.
That could be arranged. You will marry me?
Yes, Eric. I'll marry you.
Oh, that makes me very happy. I hope it makes you happy, Kate. Wait. Do I see tears?
No, it's nothing. It isn't every day a girl accepts a proposal of marriage.
I hope the tears are happy tears.
Of course they are, Erica. I'll be a lovely bride. Anthony will be very pleased. Anthony always wanted me to make a good marriage. There's nobody more respectable than Anthony, you know, Eric. When we were children, even, Anthony always used to look out for me.
I'll make arrangements for a party. We'll all go out somewhere tonight and drink and have a good time. Tell Tony to make the arrangements. He knows about these things. Flowers, champagne. I want everybody to have a good time. We'll make it a real celebration. Right, Kate?
Yes, Eric. A real celebration.
Oh, I didn't hear you come in, Kate. I was just glancing over these books on your desk. Very interesting. Very... let's see, what's the matter?
Congratulate me, Tony. I'm going to be married. Aren't you happy for me?
Are you serious?
Of course, darling. You always wanted me to make a good marriage. I'm marrying Eric.
You can't mean that.
But I do. It's all set. He wants you to arrange a party.
That's suicide.
I thought you'd be happy for me.
Now, Kate, listen to me. You don't care for Krogh. He's nothing but a meal ticket. He won't be that for long.
What makes you say that?
These books.
You have no business...
I couldn't resist a peek. Look, Kate, I've been juggling books all my life. I've been sacked 20 times for it. Mm. And I know a phony deal when I see one.
Hush, no.
You won't get away with it, Kate.
Eric knows what he's doing.
Mm. Do you, though? You're going to marry him.
Yes.
You don't love him?
No, darling, I love you.
Oh, Kate, come on, let's clear out of here.
No, Tony, I'm going through with this. I've planned it for a long time.
Planned what? You're destroying yourself.
You should know, darling. You're an expert at it. You've been doing it all your life.
Not this way.
Tony, this is our only chance. We're done. We're broke. We belong to the past. All we have is good looks and breeding. The fine dead flowers of our class. The only commodity we have to sell is ourselves. Well, enough. take me to lunch.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I promised Lou I'd meet her.
Don't you care that I'm being married?
Of course I do, but Lou is leaving today. Now, don't take it so hard. Kate, after all, you must get used to not having me around, hmm? Hey, you brighten up. Here, take one of these flowers from the vase and wear it in your hair.
I don't want it.
Oh? All right, then I shall wear it in my buttonhole. Looks rather dashing, don't you think? Lou will like that.
I hate you, Tony. I hate you with all my heart and soul.
I'm sorry to be leaving, Tony.
I'm sorry you're going.
It's been so wonderful. I mean, you're taking me around and showing me the sights.
And making love to you.
And making love to me. Well, I knew it wouldn't last more than a week, but, well, I told myself it wouldn't mean anything to me. And
did it?
Yes, Tony.
I'm glad.
But it mustn't. Well, I mean, we'll never see each other again, probably.
No.
Oh, Tony. Tony, kiss me.
Well, look, your father's watching.
Oh, I don't care. Oh, please, please, Tony. Oh, Tony.
Lou.
Tony. What?
I'm going to chuck the job.
Crooks?
Yes, it turns my stomach. I'm going back to England.
Oh, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Oh, Tony.
It would be a relationship.
Oh, I don't care. I want a relationship.
Will you meet me a week today in Coventry?
Oh, Tony, Tony, do you mean it?
Just where can we meet?
Well, now, there's a little cafe in High Street, the Moroccan. You can't miss it. It's on the same side as Woolworth's, but it's nearer the post office. Oh, Tony, I'll be there at tea time a week today.
Well, I'll be there.
Oh, Tony, Tony, I'm afraid. Suddenly, I'm afraid.
Of what?
I don't know. I haven't let myself think about it till now. But what will I do if you don't come?
I'll be there. I promise. Oh, there's your train.
Oh, kiss me again.
Yeah. Oh. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Tony.
A week today.
The Moroccan on High Street.
I love you.
What?
I love you.
Oh, oh, Tony. Tony, I love you too.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of England Made Me by Graham Greene. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. We are most happy to acknowledge a first award in literature and the arts to NBC Theater by the Institute for Education by Radio at Ohio State University. And now, our intermission commentator, Margaret Webster.
Many of our listeners today will remember Graham Greene's classic thriller, Brighton Rock, which was given last year on this program. Others will recognize him as the scriptwriter of the recent films, The Fallen Idol and The Third Man. Many of his novels have been transferred to the screen, as, for instance, Confidential Agent, The Orient Express, and The Power and the Glory, the last named undergoing a very considerable transformation in the process. His most recent bestseller, The Heart of the Matter, has been dramatized. This might tend to suggest that Greene is primarily a novelist of action, and it is unquestionably true that he can distill the elements of excitement, suspense, and horror with a master hand. But these qualities alone would not have made him one of the most important novelists writing today in any language. When the ordinary whodunit rates qualification as a psychological thriller, we feel that it has been stepped up in the hierarchy of literature. But Greene's novels are even more than that. They explore, relentlessly, the thrills of dangers of the spirit and the soul. England Made Me is not a thriller at all in the usual sense. Yet we are aware always of a sense of danger, and not merely of physical danger. We meet characters not unfamiliar to writers of minor blood-curdling routines. The wizard of international finance and his ruthless henchmen, the easygoing adventurer who stumbles upon secrets too dangerous for him to know, the little ferret of a reporter, the beautiful mistress of the financier. These are the usual types, but under Greene's touch, these people have all grown up. They are not types, they are themselves alone. His Krogh has a childlike and vulnerable quality that is touching, Hall is obsessed by a fervor which is far more compelling than the gun in his right-hand pocket. Anthony Farrant carries his culpable innocence and his simplicity of guilt with an insidious charm, and Green is far less concerned with Kate as Krogh's mistress than he is with the extraordinary bond she shares with Anthony, the profound and twisted cords which link the twins, the shared perceptions, the reluctant clarity of understanding, the painful, inescapable love. We walk in danger, Green says, danger from within. Hell lies about us in our infancy, as well as heaven. We feel our way through a jungle filled with hidden perils. The outward semblance of the jungle in this particular book is civilized enough, and Green, with his reporter's hand and camera artist's eye, brings the city of Stockholm more vividly alive to his readers than a whole handful of guidebooks. But the well-ordered streets, the lakes and bridges, the embassy and opera house, the great modern structure of glass and concrete and steel, which is the palace of King Krogh, all these are still a jungle through which each man walks alone, beset by the shadowy lions of lust and ambition, the tiger of hate, the screaming jackals of fear, pitiable and defenseless, bearing the precious burden of his immortal soul.
Thank you, Margaret Webster. Our radio version of England Made Me will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Anderson, I have a message for you from Plant 4.
What is it?
Your father.
What about him?
He's sick.
What?
They fired him and he became angry and had a stroke.
They fired him? But that's impossible.
The plant manager framed him. He got some stooges to swear that your father was a degenerate.
Where is he now?
At the Mercy Hospital.
Take my machine, Carl.
Where are you going?
I'm going to see Herr Krogh in Stockholm.
Are you crazy?
Herr Krogh doesn't know about this. He made promises so my father would call off the strike. He gave him a cigar and he asked about me. They were very friendly.
Anderson, you're asking for trouble. You can't trust Krogh.
Krogh was one of us once. He'll do something about it. You'll see. Take my machine.
Where do you think you're going? You just can't walk into Krogh's like that.
I've got to see Mr. Krogh.
He ain't here. He wouldn't see you if he was.
I work at the factory at Nykoping.
What difference does that make?
I have to see him. He knows my father.
You have no business here. Dressed in overalls, too.
I didn't have time to change. Listen, it's important. I've got to see Herr Krogh. Something terrible has happened and he has to know about it.
Send him a letter. Even the Prime Minister doesn't see Herr Krogh without an appointment.
Then I'll make an appointment.
Ah, but first you have to see the secretary.
I'll see the secretary.
You can't see the secretary without an appointment.
Then I'll make an appointment.
Listen, at this place you're lucky to see me without an appointment.
I tell you, Herr Krogh knows me. He asked my father about me. Tell him Klaus Andersen's son.
Look about you. This is Herr Krogh's. What would he have to do with you? See that fountain? It's a work of art. It was made by the greatest sculptor in Sweden. You wouldn't believe me if I told you how much it cost. Inside here, they dine off plates which would cost you a year's wages. And do you know why I'm here? Because I do brain work. Not factory work. I think I know what to say to the visitors. You think that's easy? I get a new uniform every 6 months. One has to be smart up here.
Look, this is all very nice, but I must see Herr Krogh. You'll regret it if I don't see him. My father has influence.
What does he do?
He's chairman of the factory union at Nykoping. If I don't see Herr Krogh, he will call a strike.
Well, even if you are telling the truth, you can't see him.
Why?
Because he is at South Bjorden. They've gone to dinner at the hotel there.
I'll go there.
You won't get in without evening dress.
How far is it?
About 20 miles.
I'd better be starting.
Well, the train leaves in an hour.
I have no money for trains. I'll walk.
It will take till midnight to walk to Salzfjorden.
I'll thumb a ride.
I don't believe your story about your father. Don't dare to tell Herr Krug I told you where he was.
Don't drive so fast, Tom.
I want him to drive fast. I feel good tonight. The American issue is underway. The strike never came off. I want everybody to have a good time. Tony, did you telephone for reservation?
Yes.
Plenty of champagne.
I told him.
Eric, look out up ahead. There's a young man in overalls standing in the road.
He seems to be trying to get a lift.
Oh, why doesn't a fool get out of the road?
Let's give him a lift, Eric. This is a lonely road. Oh,
strangers make me uncomfortable. Besides, we're in a hurry. Keep going, Fred.
That should teach him to stay out of the middle of the road.
You know, for a moment there, I thought he looked familiar to me. Well, too late now. Let me pour you another drink, Anthony.
Thank you.
What a pity we didn't bring a young lady for you.
Isn't it
a pity, Kate?
A pity.
We're all going to get drunk and have a good time. Where's Hall?
He'll be right back, Eric.
I want him to have a good time also.
Is that possible?
How shall we begin? Tony, you know about these things.
Well, now, I'm sure. I don't know.
Perhaps if I tell a funny story. I used to know some funny stories many years ago.
Yes, Eric, do tell us a funny story.
Well, let me see. There were these two construction engineers building a bridge over a river. One of them was a Swede, the other an Englishman. And the Englishman said to the Swede... What do you think of that? What about that, Fred?
Oh, that's very funny, Eric.
Now you tell one, Fred. Let's all hear Fred Hall tell a funny story.
Excuse me, Herr Krug.
What is it?
There's someone in the cloakroom who says he wants to see you.
No one knows I'm here.
He insists, Herr Krug.
Tony, go out and see what the fellow wants, will you?
Yes, Eric. I'll be right back.
Now tell your story, Fred. Everybody, listen to Fred's story.
Oh, no. Now, you tell us a funny story, Eric. Come on.
Let's see now. And there's the one about the three men who went into a bar in Chicago. Now, wait. I must get it right. It's been so many years. There were these three men who walked into a bar.
Eric.
What is it?
The fellow outside who wants to see you is named Anderson.
Old Anderson here?
No, this is a young man. He says you know his father.
Oh, well, send him away. I'll see him some other time.
Well, he's walked all the way from Stockholm.
Why does he bother me when I'm having a good time? Why can't I ever enjoy myself without these?
He said his father was fired.
Is that true, Eric?
I put nothing on paper.
But he's been fired. You said nothing happened.
They planted something on him. It was best this way. This young fellow's asking for trouble.
Well, let me get him a drink anyway. He's half frozen.
I want him thrown out.
Oh, for heaven's sake, the fellow's walked 20 miles.
I pay you, don't I? Then throw him out.
I'm dashed if I will.
Tony, you're crazy. He's drunk, Eric. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Well, why don't you listen to the man's story?
I will not be ordered.
Mr. Krug.
What is it, Fred?
You don't want to see this man?
I don't want to see him.
You want him sent away?
Yeah.
I'll send him away. Are you young Anderson?
Yes. I wanted to see Mr. Krug. He doesn't know my father has been fired. The shock made him sick. I know that Mr.
Krug is very busy. Go away.
But you don't understand.
I said go away.
But I do...
Go away.
Do you strike me?
I said go away.
Please tell Mr. Krug. I don't understand.
Oh, this will help you.
Please don't kick me.
Tony, what are you doing?
It's pretty obvious, isn't it, Kate? I'm packing.
What for?
Going back to England.
Why?
I've had a bellyful. You're right, Kate. I'm dishonest, but not dishonest enough. There's some things I just can't stomach.
Such as?
Oh, such as the beating they gave Anderson last night. Why? Why did they beat him? I'll tell you. Because they can't stand facing their own handiwork, their own guilt. Oh, yes, it's fine when Krog moves these people around from his desk. He doesn't have to look at them. But when it's reduced to one man, one human being, and he has to look in that man's eyes, all he can see is his own shameful image. And he has to destroy that.
That's a long speech.
Yes, well, I meant every word. And if you had any guts, Kate, you'd clear out too. I only worked for him. And you're going to marry him.
Just how do you propose to clear out? Do you have any money?
Oh, well, no. As a matter of fact, I counted on you to advance some.
What makes you think I will?
Well, it would only be a loan of £50 or so.
I suppose you're going to join that girl. What's her name? Lucia.
Yes, that's right.
What about a job?
Well, something will turn up. It always does.
You could keep this one. You could stay here. Tony, in another week, you'll forget this
girl.
Yes,
I know I would. That's why I'm clearing out now.
A sister's handicapped, isn't she? I can't appeal to you as she can. I can't say that I love you or that you love me.
Well, I do love you, Kate.
Oh, yes, you love me all right, but do you know how I love you? Do you?
Kate, put down that letter opener.
I'll show you how much. Like this, Tony.
No. You little fool, you. Put that thing down.
Oh. Tony, did I hurt you? Oh, I didn't mean to hurt you, Tony. I'd never forgive myself.
Oh, you only scratched my arm. You might have hurt me, though.
I'm sorry, Tony.
The devil got into you.
I don't know. I just wanted to hurt you.
I don't understand you, Kate.
No, you won't let yourself.
Look, what about the money?
No.
Oh, Kate, be reasonable.
Reasonable? Is it reasonable that you should go away and leave me here to spend my life with that fat pig? Is it reasonable that some skinny nothing of a woman should have you to herself? Oh, Tony, don't you understand? You're my hope, Tony, my salvation.
That's no way for a sister to talk. Now, for the last time, will you give me the money for my passage?
No, no, is that clear? I won't.
All right, Kate. I shall have to get it somewhere else.
There is nowhere else.
Oh, you forget. I know a great deal about our Mr. Krog.
Be careful, Tony.
I'll go to Minty and sell him a story.
Tony, you're too innocent to live.
Krog can't afford another strike until he's through with the American deal. There's Anderson. And then there's the sale of the Amsterdam Company to Batterson's.
You wouldn't do it, Tony. You haven't the courage. Krog would kill you if you breathed a word to anyone.
He wouldn't know. Unless you told him.
He'd find out. Oh, Tony, I know you better than this. You aren't going to risk your life for this cheap little girl. You're too selfish, too cowardly for that. You're like me, Tony. We're the same.
You refuse me the money?
I know you too well. You'll stay here. We'll have grand times together. I'll be rich when I've married Eric. Admit it, Tony. Admit you don't want to throw everything over now. We're two of a kind, you and I.
I'd like to finish packing, if you don't mind.
All right, Tony. But you'll come round. I know you will.
Minty, I need some money.
Who doesn't?
No, I need some now, before tomorrow morning.
Oh, really, old boy?
Well, you said that you could get an advance on a good story.
Well, that depends.
Now, listen, Minty. I need £100. I'll give you a story that'll make you the best reporter in Sweden.
Are you so
good? On condition that you don't publish a word until I've left, and that you don't breathe the source to anyone.
Have you been playing with fire, old boy?
The dynamite.
Well, what's the story?
Do I have your word? I
swear it on my school tie.
All right. Hold on to your hat, then. Krog framed Anderson, the leader of the strike at Nykoping.
Can you prove it?
Ask Anderson's son. Paul beat him up last night.
Why?
They're afraid something will go wrong before the American issue is floated.
What would go wrong?
The Amsterdam Company is worthless. All its assets are in the form of shares in another company. The purchase of the shares was predated so that it wouldn't look like a swindle.
Holy Canute.
Yeah. Would you like to bring me £100 tonight and get all the details?
We'll have to talk to the editor.
Well, don't give away the story.
Oh, don't worry, Farrant. This story is much too valuable to give away. Much too valuable. I will get in touch with you.
Kate,
Kate, would you come in, please?
Yes, Eric?
What's the report on the American issue?
Well, everything's quiet so far. We should have it floated in another 2 days.
Oh, good. Fine. Oh, by the way, where is Tony?
I don't know. Hasn't he been here?
Not yet.
I wanted to talk to you about Tony, Eric.
Oh?
He wants to go back to England.
Really?
He's got a girl.
Well, well.
You don't understand, Eric. You can't let him go.
Why don't you want him to go?
Because he's a fool.
Yeah, I suppose he is, but that's none of my concern.
You could keep him here. He has no money.
Why should I?
For me.
I hardly think that's a reason, Kate.
All right, then. For all our sakes, including his.
I don't follow you.
I said he was a fool, Eric. Maybe he knows something.
Does he?
I don't know, but he might. He's been poking around.
He wouldn't dare to talk even if he did.
Here, no. But in England, who knows? You've got to keep him here, Eric. Another week and he'll forget all about this girl. I know him. He has no spine.
How would you suggest I keep him here?
You've done things like that before.
We could frame him, I suppose. That would be painful for you, too.
Not as painful as losing him.
Perhaps we could do it more simply. I will leave it to you to get your brother here for dinner and cards tonight. Invite Colonel Gully and Mr. Hall.
Hello? Mr. Minty, please.
Minty?
Minty, this is Tony. Did you see the editor?
Have you talked to him?
Well?
He won't buy a pig in a poke.
He wouldn't give you the money?
Not a farthing until after I let him see the story.
But could you trust him to hold it?
Well, about as far as I could draw a piano.
Minty, I need that money.
You said that this morning. He can't get it, not a farthing.
I see. All right, I'll have to get it some other way.
Good luck.
If I clear the country, you can print the story and send me the money in England.
I will do that. Sorry, old boy.
Yeah, but thanks for trying.
Oh, not at all, Farron. Anything for a fellow Herovian.
Well, Tony, I see you've unpacked.
Not completely.
I was right. You didn't have the nerve.
You're very flattering, Kate, but I haven't given up yet.
As long as you're going to stay in Stockholm, you might well have dinner with Eric and me tonight.
I don't think I'd better.
There'll be a card game afterward. You might try your luck at that.
With what?
Perhaps you can get Eric to advance some money on your salary.
That chance.
Eric's a gambler.
I haven't noticed.
Will you join us, darling?
You think you've won, don't you, Kate? Yes, you're dancing with joy because you kept me from running away again, just like our childhood.
Will you join us? It's a free dinner, and your girl has gone away.
All right, Kate. Yeah, you win this time. Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
8 o'clock tonight at Eric's. I'll wear a flower in my hair. You'll like that.
That put you in my debt for a week's salary, Anthony.
Oh, the gods aren't with me yet. They'll come round.
Would you like to continue?
I would.
Your deal, Hall.
Gentlemen.
I'll stay.
Colonel Gully.
I'm in. The military attaché gets reckless.
Eric.
I'm out.
Miss Farron.
I'll stay out this time.
Cards, gentlemen.
I'll have three. The military art of camouflage. Mm.
One.
I'll double and take one.
Uh-huh. I'll stay.
Well, well. This calls for a bit of thought, what?
Double again.
I'll call you.
Two tens.
Ah. And yours truly is stung again. Here's my note.
Why don't we have a drink before we deal again?
That's a good idea.
There you are. School.
School. Turn on the wireless, Miss Farron. Let's get the latest news from London, shall we?
Oh, I'll get it. Hello? Yes. Oh, no. Well, I'll see. Hold on.
Who is it, Kate?
There's a gentleman who insists on speaking with you. He says he has some information of great importance.
Who is it?
Hello, who is this, please? Oh.
Well?
His name is Minty.
Minty? Oh, yeah. I'll take it. Hello, Mr. Minty. No, you must speak freely. I see. Yes, of course. My office tomorrow at 10. I'll write you a check. Certainly. Thank you. Of course, I appreciate it. Good night.
Anything important?
No, Kate, nothing important. Just a friend of mine who works for a newspaper. He's on my payroll. Whenever somebody sends him some scandal about me, I buy it back for twice the price. What's the matter, Farrant? You look pale.
Nothing.
Ah, it's kind of the depression news. Advancing from Iceland. And here's a bulletin from the palace.
Well, let's get some music.
Turn it off, Kate.
King has signed a new legislation.
Let's play. It's your deal, Mr. Farrant.
I'm out. I've lost too much already.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Stand me, honey cake. Bring me luck, huh?
I think your luck has run out, Mr. Farrant.
Cross your fingers and twiddle your toes. That's the way the money goes.
5 crowns.
I go down.
It's too rich for me.
Double.
1 card.
You must have a good hand, Mr. Hall. I'll take 1 and double.
Double again.
Tony.
Oh, this should be interesting.
I'll call you.
2 pair. Queen high.
Straight flush. You can't beat that.
No, I can't beat that.
Thank you, gentlemen, for this wonderful money. Mr. Krogh, here's what I owe you. And the rest should take me across to England with a little to spare.
Well, I'm through.
Oh, yes, we've all had enough.
So you're going across to England, Mr. Farrant?
Yes, yes, I was going to tell you tonight. I hope you won't mind. I'm not cut out for your kind of work, Mr. Krogh.
I'll walk back with you, Mr. Farron.
Yes, that'll be fine.
Tony, come into the hall. I'll get your coat. I want to talk to you before you go.
All right, Kate. Well, hello, girl. You've lost after all.
Tony, you've got to get out of here now.
What?
That phone call from Minty. You gave him some information, didn't you?
Yeah.
Tony, they'll kill you.
Well, in an hour, I'll be aboard a boat for England.
Don't go out with Hall.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I can handle her, Mr. Hall.
Tony, please.
Coming, Mr. Farron. Here's the lift.
Yes, coming, Hall. All right, goodbye, Kate. I hope you and Krogh will be very happy together.
Tony, Tony.
I'll write you 3 pages every Sunday. Bye.
Well, I'd better be going, too.
Oh, no, don't go, Colonel Gully. The party's just begun. Do stay and have a drink with us. Eric, wouldn't you like Colonel Gully to stay? Eric will tell some funny stories, won't you, Eric?
It's stuffy in here.
I'll open the window.
No, don't. It's too foggy out.
Oh, it is beastly soupy, isn't it?
You should have sent Tony and Hall home in the car, Eric.
The car's no good in this fog. They might have an accident.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Looks as if Mr. Hall left his note case on the table.
So he did.
I wouldn't guess him to be a man who'd leave his identification and money on a card table. Not after seeing how close-fisted he held his cards.
There'll be tears before morning.
What's that?
An old superstition about leaving things.
Oh.
Are you superstitious, Colonel Gully?
Oh, good heavens, no. Lot of nonsense. Here comes the lift.
Hall must have remembered his wallet. Where are you going, Eric?
Into the bathroom for some aspirin. Oh. I have a sudden headache.
I left my note case.
Where's Tony?
I left him.
He should have reached his hotel by now. It's just a few steps round the lakefront.
I don't think he has reached it yet.
I'll give him a call.
It must be slow going in this fog.
I just want to talk to him. We never had time to say goodbye, really. There's no answer. I suppose we shall never say goodbye now. We left so much unsaid.
Services are almost ended, Colonel Gully.
I'll stand here near the door. think I was playing cards with him only the other night.
He was in the water 3 days before they fished him out.
How's the sister taking it?
She doesn't show anything.
Herr Krug looks well today.
He ought to. They just floated the American stock issue.
Mitty, have you heard what people are saying?
What?
That Ferrant didn't just walk into the water in the fog.
I've heard rumors.
What do you think?
I don't allow myself to think, Colonel Gully. People are better off if they don't allow themselves to think.
Well, the service is ended now. Here they come.
Miss Ferrant.
What is it?
I'm a reporter. Have you any statement for the press?
About what?
About your wedding to Herr Krug, of course.
The wedding is off.
Would you care to say why?
No.
Would you like to say something about your brother?
Anthony was a thief, like the rest of us, but not quite clever enough. We're all thieves, aren't we, Mr. Minty?
Where are you going now, Miss Ferrant?
Nowhere. Simply moving on.
Like your brother?
Yes, like my brother.
You have been listening to England Made Me, an NBC Theater production of the novel by Graham Greene. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a dramatization of Christopher Isherwood's poignant and highly significant novel, Prater Violet, and the following week for Elizabeth Bowen's A House in Paris. England Made Me was adapted for the NBC Theater by George Lefferts. Our intermission commentator was Margaret Webster, whose commentary was recorded. In today's cast, Naomi Stevens played Kate, Ben Wright was Tony, Marvin Miller, Krog, Marty Warren was the doorkeeper, Herbert Rawlinson, Colonel Gully, Robert Boone was Hall, Stanley Farrar was Minty, Constance Cavendish played Lucia, Don Diamond was Anderson, your announcer, Don Rickles. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Three stars on Theater Guild on the Air: Walter Pidgeon, Gertrude Lawrence, and Arthur Treacher. The play is The Humorous Petticoat Fever. Today, be sure to hear Theater Guild, Sam Spade, and the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. There's more stellar entertainment for you today on NBC, so keep tuned here. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.